During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I come with good news and bad news today. In the studio with me, my co-host, the most stellar human to ever walk the face of the earth, Mark Tobin. Mark, how you doing this morning?
Good. Yeah, great. Yeah. I got to go fishing last weekend, and that was much needed. Caught a lot of white bass, a lot of crappie down at Lake of the Ozarks.
Did you weigh your thumb any?
Did I weigh it? No.
Didn't weigh. You got to put your thumb on the scale and make them look bigger.
Yeah, right.
You ever two-pound crappie, that's what you do with it.
Well, no, I didn't have any that would even come close to doing that. Well, but I have gotten pretty good.
You put the thumb on the scale. You can make them go and say, take a selfie and leave your thumb out of the picture and you pull down on it.
I do know all the tricks when it comes to taking pictures of them. Get your hands, your arm in behind the fish and push it out close to the camera. I can make a little fish look
big.
Look pretty darn good, yeah.
No 2-pound crappie left in on Truman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty skinny right now, though. That spawned out or, you know, ones that partially spawned still have some eggs in them, but they're skinny. Mm-hmm. Skinny and just now starting to recover from the rigors of the spawn.
The breeding season, as we say.
Yes.
The Viagra season. Yeah. The biggest crappie I ever caught, and I think you were with me,
at Coffee County
Reservoir before they kicked us off.
I remember.
Before they got rude and obnoxious with us.
It had the biggest head of any crappie
I've
ever seen.
I never saw a fish like that again. And he could read newspaper through him.
I know, that's the thing.
But man, I'd like to, if he would have been full of spawn, or she would have.
That would have been over a three, pushing close to a four pound
fish. Crappie.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely.
But I bet it didn't even weigh a pound and a half.
Yeah, it was just terrible looking fish. It was kind of bizarre looking. It was like a dinosaur.
Yeah, it looked like it was dying.
Yeah, it probably was.
Undernourished for sure.
Yeah, like Blake, our producer.
No, he doesn't look undernourished at all, no.
Okay.
He looks well-fed.
He looks kind of gaunt this morning.
I don't think he slept well last night.
Oh, really?
You stayed up and watched the Royals game, didn't you, Blake?
I did. It was a West Coast game, so I was up till about 12:30 just watching the game.
Didn't you know you had to get up early and do this show? What's the matter with you?
I did.
I guess
it's the dedication I put into this.
Duty calls, yes.
You're a very dedicated employee, and we're very proud of you. There'll be something extra in your pay slip. Yeah.
I'm glad you guys are the ones that pay me, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it isn't enough. That's all every time I see a police officer, I say, I don't know what you're getting paid, but it ain't enough.
That's true. I agree.
Well, now, think about that. I mean, if you're a police officer.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah, and you roll up on something, you don't know what. And you got 3.2 seconds to make a decision.
Yeah. No thanks.
No thank you. And first responders, it doesn't, it just goes. It's just bizarre times we're living in.
Yeah, boy, that's an understatement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But we caught our fish. Just not your cup of tea. We were trolling.
Ah, don't do that. That's immoral.
Now, we did catch some crappie without having to troll, but we caught some trolling, incidentally. We were trying to catch some white bass and hybrids. Now, we trolled red-eye shad, bandits in the 100 and 200 series, and flicker shad. And most every fish we caught were on the Berkeley red-eye shad.
Why?
I don't know. It must have been the depth. I think both the bandit and the flicker shad were going a little bit deeper. But I'll be darned if I know. I mean, flicker shad's kind of like a rattle trap. I like it a little better. It's a little more solid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And we had four rods out at times and four different lures.
And trolling. I didn't think you'd do that. Next thing you're going to tell me are fish with live bait.
Not yet. Haven't had to resort.
Okay.
But, there's a lot of fish being caught on Truman on minnows right now. Hmm. In fact, Richard Bowling, he had how big was this? He caught a walleye crappie fish, and it was 28 1/4 inches long.
That's nice.
Just over 8 pounds.
Wow.
That's good fish. Big.
Speaking of big fish, Did you see the picture? I think maybe it's on our Facebook in regards to Ben Adder.
Cody Van Atten.
Van Atten. Excuse me. I always say call him Van Atten. Van Atten.
And thank you,
Ben
Greg Atten. Thompson, for posting.
Yeah. What in the world? You know, I mean, I had to do a double take on it.
Yeah, God, I mean, some big fish. But, you know, and he uses live shad. And that's tough for a lot of people. You know, you got to, number one, be able to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not hard to find them right now, but you got to be able to throw a throw net and then either have a really well aerated live well or have a bait tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way. Now, as we get a little bit closer to July and the new hatch of shad, you know, when they get about an inch and a half long, getting toward 2 inches, that's when the white bass and the hybrids really turn on the feed bag, and you can do pretty good on artificial bait spoons and things
sure.
like that. But yeah, that's a monster. And right, the lake's 6 foot high right now, so they're running water, and whenever they're running water, it really concentrates those fish on specific mm-hmm. areas, and it makes it a little easier to find them. But yeah, if you can use live shad, or they'll bite night crawlers too. You know, a lot of people fish for walleye, drifting night crawlers will catch some hybrids mm-hmm. doing that too. But
the picture is well beyond belief, mm-hmm. and golly, you know, it just reinforces my statement. I think the big fish school and big fish schools. I think little fish school and little fish schools.
Your classes.
I think
together,
so.
Yeah.
You know, and he got into something that was almost like not from this world. I mean, look at that picture.
Yeah, I drove down there past his bait store last week. Boy, they were busy.
Were they?
Yeah, they had a lot of people there.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
everybody I talked to about him. I got more feedback off his radio show than I have for a long, long time
it's
on anybody's show.
Cody's Bait and Tackle. If you're going out 7 Highway, and it's right on the south side of 7 Highway, just before you get to Warsaw, the bridge that goes over Lake of the Ozarks there, the river, mm-hmm. it's just right there on the right. And got a metal building, and well, it's a popular place. A lot of people go in there for information and bait and tackle.
Well, he's just a straight shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it
is.
He is
a hard-working young man.
Yeah, he is. And he Thompson says he does it the old-fashioned way. He works at it.
Right.
And, that's just amazing, isn't it? You go to work at that.
Well, I mean, just having a bait store, number one, that's work enough. And the hours that you have to put in there. But then he guides on top of that?
Yeah.
Man, that's brutal.
He probably runs 4 or 5 hours sleep a day.
Yeah, I guess he's lucky.
And that's probably he's on his feet 20 of the 24 or something
right.
like that. You know, that's how tough it is.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
In the deal. You know, but, boy, you can't complain about him. I one time recommended a guide down in Arkansas. A friend of mine, I'd fished with him once. I caught a big striper down there. But then the next guy, I kind of got away from that recommending anybody because this guy went down there and he called me, fished with him 3 days, and they put one fish in a boat in 3 days. And he said all he did was talk on his cell phone to his stockbroker all the time.
Oh, that's not good. I mean, there's good and bad days fishing. You're not always going to catch them. But, yeah, that's not good when you do something like that.
Not with you, Tobin. You catch them every time.
I wish.
You do, don't you?
Not every time. I'd be lying if I said I did.
You're admitting defeat here on 50,000-watt radio station?
Yeah, anybody that fishes is going to have times like that. But hopefully not very many of them.
Hmm. Well, we'll see, I guess, as we go down the road of life on the deal. Hey, I got some good news. North Dakota got some pretty serious rains in places up there.
Oh, there's a lot of places in the country that haven't.
Yes, and they were way, 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 way past due. They had a few, I think, outbreaks of hail and tornadoes, but other than that, they got rain for the baby ducks. So, if there is an uplink there a little bit, and hens, we'll go back on the nest 2 to 3 times, keep trying and trying and trying. So Saskatchewan is exceptionally dry, except for little pockets of it. But and I was talking to John Devney about this with Delta Waterfowl yesterday on the phone, and I said, is there any good news? I mean, he said, well, the jury's still out. But here's what people forget. This is record number of waterfowl in the atmosphere right now because of sportsmen. Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, putting their money where their mouth is. And there is,
yeah, you know, ducks are not stupid. They'll find the right habitat. They have to fly clear on north. The worst case scenario, he says, they go up to the boreal forest up there. Well, predation is, they'll nest up there, but predation is astronomical. The success rate's only like 2% of the hens, and the hens get killed on the nest. But there's pockets in there around Saskatoon and up into there that has got adequate rain. So maybe this is not going to be all doom and gloom on the deal. So what the hey. A little sad note, my old hunting buddy, dear, very, very dear friend, it's very sad. I couldn't sleep the other night because of this. He passed. He's 60, well, I think he was 62, Bill was. Bill so Slusher, maybe 63. But what an outdoor guy. What an enthusiast. Fun to go hunting with. A mile a minute laughs. Just can't say enough good things about that guy. And had a stroke, and they laid in a coma for a couple of days, and he finally passed yesterday. But, boy, I'm sorely going to miss him. You know, it's not the losing the people in my self-centered thinking is replacing them with the good old boys. You know, he was one of the best. So sadly, sadly, I will miss him dearly, dearly, and dearly.
I never got a chance to meet him, but I've heard of the talk of him often.
Great guy. Great guy. One a man. Man, the darn thing. But I did meet a replacement, if we can talk about a replacement guy. I was end up buying a shredder for the duck club to mow down the thistles and the weeds and that kind of thing. And I ran into a guy named Toby Foster. He's from up around Cameron, Missouri. And talk about a true American. What a guy. Very impressed with that man. Wonderful, wonderful person. I just got to tell me he flies and you know, the bullet holes through the airplane type attitude, you know. And, boy, just I'm so tickled. It was a business transaction and turned out to be a friendship. Awesome. And just a great guy. And I'm going to do everything I can. I think Doug Thompson, who used to be number four of the Blues, is going to come up and duck hunt with me this fall. So I like to get both of them in the blind. And the stories will be, I guarantee you, will be off the chart.
I need a recorder in that one.
Oh, it's going to be cool. Going to be a classic on the deal. Also working on, I'm going to take Josh Hawley duck hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if it's going to happen, but if his schedule is tight and tough, just like any senator would be, but I sure like the man. You know, and I guess I'm kind of a weird human. I guess I'm an independent. I don't really get into politics too much. I don't trust any of them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And but I do like this guy. I got a little bit of hangout time with him during the flood. Very straight shooter. Very pro-gun. So that got me going. On the deal. So anyway,
well, good luck on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Cool. We're working on it as we speak. I think he would love it once he got there. You know, on the deal.
Spending a day in the blind with you. That's
well, I don't know about me.
Everybody would love that.
But it would just be an awful lot of fun. What I'd like to do, and I don't know if this got merit or not, but I'd like to auction off two other seats in the blind to set in there with us, and the money goes to charity. Now, whether this will happen, I don't know. We're working on it. His schedule is so tight. To hang out a day, you know, it might be impossible. But I think it would be for a good cause. And regardless if you're a Democrat or Republican or you hate him or you like him, you know, there's still money would go to a good cause. So maybe it'll work out. We'll see down the road on the deal. So, but Toby told me he was going to be listening this morning.
Hi, Toby.
Yeah, anybody named Toby can't be trusted. Is that true?
Well, in my family, that's true.
That's true?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I wanted to throw that out there. Good idea. Our guest, we're going to have Todd Pearson with SAR, USA, SAR, USA Pistol Company. He's only going to be on for about 15 minutes. And then we've got who?
Clint Hale, the hatchery manager down at Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery at Lake Taneycomo.
He's always a good interview.
Yeah, boy, and he knows his craft.
And you can poke fun at him and don't hackle him up too much.
No.
And we are brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. Please go to their website if you're thinking about an outbuilding, a place for your horsey, a loafing shed, a place for your combine to be parked, and you want to add on a garage on your house, whatever they. These guys are wonderful. Can't say enough good things about them. They are master carpenters. They will not leave your job site until you're 110% satisfied. KingCityLumber.com. Got to take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, along with my fishing buddy, Mark C. here, Tobin. By the magic of the telephone, we have called down to Auburn, Alabama, and we are going to have on here Todd Pearson, who is the CEO, the director, the president of the Grand Poobah of SAR USA. Todd, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm mad at you, though.
I didn't come turkey hunting, I know.
I know. That's exactly why I'm mad, too. Because misery loves company. We wouldn't have got one, but we'd have had a good visit.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, I went down to Florida and killed a couple of Osceolas.
Oh.
I did turkey hunt.
How was the mosquitoes?
You know, we went early, and it was great. It wasn't bad at all. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
And we were down there, didn't have that good of experience.
It picked us off the ground.
Yeah.
Well, I'll hook you up with a guy.
All right.
He knows a guy.
I know a guy.
I know a guy.
Yeah. I'm still mad at you, though, that day you shot at that one and missed it.
I did that on purpose, so you have a story to
okay.
tell. Because, I know you like telling that story.
Okay, I do. I tell it to everybody to listen. Now, the second one, you coup de grace on him. You know,
yeah, oh yeah.
But
I wanted to share the wealth. I wanted to let one go. I felt sorry for it.
You know, that was a cool turkey. I remember that hunt like it was yesterday, and that bird was way off in the distance, and I yelped at him, and he gobbled, and I said, uh-oh, I think he's coming. And by golly, he came up there and stood up and took it like a man. Hey, SAR's pistol, and I have, since you became the sponsor of this radio show, I have got so much feedback from this. It's a whole different culture, the guys that shoot pistols, than the waterfowlers or the turkey hunters sometimes. And here's the way I look at SAR USA. And I'm getting so much feedback. I was in a sporting goods store one day, and I heard another guy talking about them and didn't even know who I was, and thank God. And the guy was just ranting and raving how good a pistol as SARs are and deal. I mean, you guys have taken this company out of the cheap seats into the spotlight. You've got some really good press, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a rocket ship ride. I mean, the one thing people have to understand is the parent company, SARs and Laws, is a 140-year-old company. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are brands that there's a lot of product coming in from Turkey, and then there's SAR USA. I mean, we are a cut above everything. These guys are military contractors. They're a very large company. They have state of the art everything, and the products they put out and they give us are just unbelievable. Everybody that we send parts pieces to for, aftermarket fitting, for sights, whatever, everybody comments on. I don't see the tolerances this close on.
Yeah.
Any of the mainstream brands. So the quality of this product is phenomenal. I mean, people all have their perceptions about products from either, China, Japan, or Bangladesh, Turkey, wherever. And there's a lot of product that comes in from Turkey, but there's nothing that's like this product.
Yeah. In the European side, it's the Colt of the world, isn't it?
Absolutely. They are the largest supplier to the NATO allies. Again, there are a lot of brands that come in from overseas, but SAR USA is definitely the 800-pound gorilla, and they make some quality products.
Yeah. Now, I got several SARs pistols now and shoot the snot out of them. You got me addicted. I'm just cranking through those nines like there's no tomorrow. And I've learned, and I told Mark about this last Saturday, if I take 100 rounds with me to the range, I shoot 100 rounds. I can't stop. It's a very addictive gun to shoot. So I've learned to kind of feather it down a little bit because nines are starting to show up in the marketplace. But there for a while, they were like hen's teeth on the deal. But here's what I've told everybody on the air about your product. I have now on a K-12, which is the prettiest handgun I've ever saw, in my opinion. I've probably cranked around 500 rounds through it, and I have not cleaned it on purpose. The thing functions just like the day one. And I can actually hit things with it. I it's just an amazing pistol. Is that some of the feedback you're getting from them?
Yeah, I mean, consistently we get quality for the price and the fact that the guns function so well. You know, there's a little bit of there are a few little hiccups sometimes. People don't realize they are a military spec gun, so the tolerances are extremely tight, and you need to shoot a little heavier bullet in the guns as they break in. But that's really the only thing we have. When you get into some really, really, really light target loads or light loads at the range, early on the guns just need to get broken a little bit. But that's really the only feedback we get. Yeah. Other than they're just phenomenal, like you said. Let them shoot them, and it just they work like a Swiss clock.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I hooked up with them by accident. I went down just to shoot at the range by myself and end up there with a bunch of guys, and we become buddies. And they're all down there, and they meet on Thursdays, and they shoot a little bit, and sometimes on Tuesdays. But they saw me up the end of the range, and one of the guys sauntered down there, and he said, "Is that a SAR?" And I said, "Yeah." And I showed, and of course, had several, and I showed them to him. And they said, "Could I shoot it?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, the problem is I gave it to him. I couldn't get it back. You know, and the one guy, I can't remember what he told me the number was. He had like 100 pistols or something. And he said, "This just became my favorite gun." He said, "You know what's great about this pistol?" And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "The grip and the trigger assembly, it's like an ice cube, you know, like an icicle. It breaks off so easy." And I said, "Yeah." And these guys, I've addicted them all. They've all owned one now, you know.
Well, we win when people pick the gun up. Because yeah. They pick it up, it feels great. And if they get an opportunity to shoot it, it's even better. And then they go, "Wow, this gun's, you know, under $500 or under $600," and they're just blown away.
Exactly. Now, I had a lady the other day talk to me about a pistol. She wanted a little smaller one to go in her purse. What would you recommend?
Well, the B6 Compact is the smallest pistol we have. I mean, it's the smallest size we can actually import. We do have plans, and we've been working really hard, too, because we've grown so fast. We're trying to expand, buy a bigger building, and ultimately do some production here in the United States. And when that happens, we can start making subcompacts and micros. But right now, the B6 Compact is the smallest gun. It's a 13-round, but it is a true compact. It's a small gun. It would fit. It fits great in a purse for a woman, uh-huh. or you can conceal it. And we do have that in a number of different variations in terms of colors. We've got, you know, OD green and earth color. We got pink and violet. I mean, we've got some colors that ladies like. And it's just an all-around gun that everybody seems to like.
Well, you know, that's what I'm noticing about you. I know that you got the throttle here. You could lay back in the weeds and have just a regular gun, but you got different color combinations, you got different grips, you guys have stole the marketplace as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're still treading water because it's just the demand has gone so fast. We've been so blessed that the factory can supply us product. I mean, they fly product in here 4 times a month. We are just cranking everything out we can, and we still don't have anywhere near enough. And accessories take time, and I think that's our absolute number one request, with the exception of magazines for the gun, is, you know, where do I get night sights or grips and mm-hmm. holsters? And we're in the process of revamping a website. It should be up live, a new website here in the next 30 days, and it'll have an entire e-commerce site on it so people can buy a lot of those accessories branded by SAR USA on the website. So,
wow. It's cool. You opened my. I got away from the pistol game years. About 18 to 21, I shot pistol. For some reason, I got away from it, and now I'm back in the groove. And I missed it dearly. I didn't realize how much I missed that thing. But the functionability, the durability of this gun is absolutely unbelievable and off the chart. And everybody keeps talking up to me, Todd, is the price. You guys are priced so reasonably for the quality of the merchandise. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the value of the product and the quality of the product is standalone. Just go look at the guns. I mean, right now the challenge is that we still are pretty backlogged. We are getting caught up, and the factory, like I said, is doing a phenomenal job. But we're still struggling to try to get product out to the retail market, because every time it hits the retail market, it's gone, and they call it, "Want more." And it's just... we're catching up, and we're doing a great job, and we're growing like crazy, and people are beginning to realize the value of it. You know, the good news for you, Fred, and we've been talking about this for almost a year, but we will start bringing in shotguns the second half of this year.
Oh, cool.
So, I know I've sent you a 20-gauge and some other little some products that we had early on, but mm-hmm. we will have the gas gun and the inertia gun sometime later, latter part of this year. We're hoping to get them for the hunting season, but we're not 100% sure on that yet.
Yeah. Well, if it's got SAR stamped on it, I want one. I can tell the tolerance of this gun is phenomenal. The grips on it are phenomenal. The trigger assembly is phenomenal. And that all relates back to accuracy. You know, I can actually hit a 5-gallon bucket, which is, I mean, I couldn't hit a Buick but with the other guns. And I think that's why I got away from that pistol thing. I was a little bit humbled about I wasn't good pistolero. But now this has kind of put me back in focus on the darn thing. So you guys are just phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about you. So keep up the good work. Love you to death. I'm still mad at you for not turkey hunting, but that's okay.
We're going to make it up this fall. And this winter, we're going to do some duck hunting.
Well, I love that. I think that would be a hoot. So what the heck. You can go back to sleep now. I woke you out of your doldrums. So.
No, it's a good day here in Auburn, and sun comes up about 5:30, so we're right here on the eastern central line, so it's time to have a great Saturday. So you guys have a great day, and thanks again for having me on.
Todd, that's wonderful. Thank you. That's for darn sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I was Todd Pearson with SAR USA. If you're looking into a pistol, this is the one you want to look into. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, I ran into a gentleman that I hadn't fished with for several years, and he got into a Jackson kayak, and he was on Nottoway County to listen to the show. He said he hadn't fished there for years, went up there and fished there, and he said it just opened up a new horizon for him. He got back in those little pockets of timber and brush and caught him and caught him and caught him and caught him and caught him.
Oh, how fun. And, well, I tell you, and you can't beat the Jackson. You know, Joe Falco, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, he took on that Jackson line because they had a reputation for being the most stable. And if you're going to be out fishing, that's what you want. You want a stable kayak.
Yeah, exactly.
And not only are they stable, but they got so many options you can put on their live wells, electronics. You can get them that you can pedal, or you can put an electric
trolling
motor. Yeah. I want the easy way. Well, but fish hands-free, which is important too. But the best thing about the kayaks is all of the opportunities that it opens up for you to get away from the crowd. And that's one thing. Boy, I'm telling you what, if you're fishing out on these Kansas lakes, you'll have some company, especially on the weekends.
Yes.
And I think they watch you with binoculars. And when you catch, if you catch something, you're going to have some company right on you.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about the kayak world. You can get away. There's so many, several hundred city and county lakes in Kansas and Missouri. And, boy, you can get a kayak. You can't, a lot of those places you can't put a boat on. And but you can get a kayak on there and just have it to yourself. So check the kayaks out at Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. And if you have a problem with your boat, which you will, if you haven't yet, you will.
You will.
And but there's just Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic out there, and there's just not a boat problem that
he's
can't fix. Great bunch of folk out there.
Yeah. One other thing while we're talking a little bit, we're getting our advertising spot in here. If you want to be a sponsor of this show, which we're going to have an opening on this show, and actually might even have two. We've never lost but one advertiser in 4 years, and I've lost, I've been on the air for 37 years. I can count on one hand the advertisers I've lost. So if you want to be a sponsor on the show, come into a studio, come in the studio with us, and we'll work with you any way we possibly can. Get a hold of Tobin Lawn, Mark Tobin, and tell him, say, hey, I'd like to be a sponsor on the show. We would love to have you, because there's somebody out there that would love to sell their product. I assume we're about a 98% male audience. Maybe that might be too high. But if you're selling a product to a man, I know we can help you, and we'd love to have you on as a sponsor. So that's our little plea in the air, but you'll love it on the deal. Who we got on here?
One of my favorite people in the entire world. He is not only in my heart, but he's the number one hatchery manager down at Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery in Branson, Missouri. He is the one and the only Mr. Clint Hale. Hey, Clint, how are you doing?
How are you doing, bud? It's good to hear your voice.
Well, you too. It's been too long since I've been able to see you, but everybody had problems with COVID last year. How did that affect the hatchery?
You know, we didn't allow the public in for over a year, and we just opened the conservation center about a month ago. And so it didn't really impact us too much. We still had to come to work every day. Unlike a lot of people that can work from home, you can't really work from home at a hatchery.
No, it doesn't quite work that way.
Did it cut back your stocking program any?
No, nope, didn't cut stocking back.
Wow.
You know, the trap parks were affected a little bit. We didn't have them open for a while as well, but now everything's back fully open and full stocking. But we never did cut back stocking. We just didn't have the public at the parks for a while.
Well, that makes more fish to be had.
That's right. That's what I look at. That's a greed factor.
I know. How many fish are you producing at the hatchery nowadays?
Oh, we produce about 1.2 million per year.
Wow. That's a lot of
so,
fish.
So, you know. The majority of them go into Taney Como and the trout parks. We do have the only brown trout stocking or brown trout program in the state. So we're the sole producers of brown trout. And we do about around 40 to 50,000 of those per year. So a small portion is brown trout.
Wow. Well, I want to get talking about those, too, because there was a couple of state records broken a couple of years back. And want to talk about the triploid program. But before that, what is involved? How do you produce trout? Take us step by step from the beginning.
That's a long process. It takes us about 18 months to produce a stockable trout here. We could do that in a shorter amount of time if we had warmer water, but our water comes from Table Rock Lake, about 140 feet below the surface, and our water is usually in the 40s, so pretty cold. Trout grow, we can get about a half inch a month, and you compare that to the trout parks who normally have mid to upper 50s for their water temp. They can get about an inch to an inch and a quarter a month.
Good.
On growth.
Wow.
So, and they're real efficient too. It takes about 1.2 pounds of food to produce a stockable trout. So they're extremely efficient animals. So we start by spawning. We spawn from September till about April. We have a
Fall.
Yeah. Well, we have two different broodstock. We have a fall spawning and we have a spring spawning.
Wow.
So we'll be done with our fall usually in December. And start up on the spring in January and be done by April.
So the broodstock are fish that you just keep there at the hatchery?
Yes, that's correct. We keep them here. We have two raceways that we keep them in. After a broodstock get too big, they get hard to handle. They eat a lot of food. We'll cull them, and that means we're going to take them from a broodstock program and stock them in a trout park in one of our trout waters in Missouri, which are numerous, or Taney Como. So usually they're lunkers. A lunker is usually considered to be 3 pounds or greater. So the culls are usually 3 pounds or greater that we stock all over. We stock so many. We stock about... Yeah, I think it's around 2,000 these big fish per year.
How many trout? How many of the broodstock? How many does it take to produce over a million fish?
We have between our fall and spring broodstock. I think we have usually around 4,000 fish, something like that. One female can produce about 2,000 eggs, depending on her size. We take several million eggs per year because the trout parks rely on us for eggs as well. Three out of the four have their own broodstock program, but that warmer water is detrimental to the egg production. It just speeds their cell development up too much. Colder water is better for egg production. We get about a 90% return where they get about a 40% return.
Ooh, big
so
difference. Yeah.
They rely on us for a lot of their egg production.
Hmm. What? So, take me through the stocking procedure.
Well, yeah.
I mean, how in the world? I mean, do you put in 8 inches? Do you put in 12 inches? Do you do all the above or what?
So in the trap parks, it's about, they average about 12 inches for their stockers. Wow. And like I said, they can grow a bigger fish faster than we can. So ours takes us about 18 months, and we can produce a 11-inch fish is what we try to target for Tanny Como.
Nice.
And, yeah, and we have, on average, we stock some of the biggest trout on average than most states.
I'll bet.
But for stocking, we have here at Shepherd, we do it a little different than the trout parks. We have a loader truck that's got a articulating arm that has a basket on the end of it and a scale. And we dip the fish out of the raceway and into a big truck. Our biggest truck has about a 2,000-gallon tank in it. Now, that net has a trap door at the bottom. And there'll be a guy on top taking down pounds because there's a scale above that net. We've already taken a weight sample, so we know how many fish per pound. And then we know how many pounds of that particular size of fish we're getting out of the raceway we can put into the truck.
Wow.
So that's kind of hard to explain on the phone. It's really a spectacle when people are here at the hatchery. When we're doing anything on the raceways, they're all around us. So we usually have to chain off our work area because, you know, we get this week because of COVID, we've been extremely busy. I think we had over 1,000 people on a Tuesday.
Wow.
And that's like a Saturday
on a Tuesday. What the heck?
So, yeah, it's been really, really busy. People are getting out traveling.
Cool. Well, that's good news.
That is good news. And when we load the truck up, we take it down to Tanny Como. We have a 35-foot stocking barge. It's just a giant pontoon with a big tank in the middle of it that we release the fish out of irrigation pipe into this tank from the truck. And then we can go up or down Tanny Como, push a button at the helm, and shoot the fish out the back.
That's for you, Tobin.
Process.
Yeah, I got to. That's how I met Clint. We went down and did a television show for the American Outdoorsman, and that was part of it. We got to go out on the barge and release the fish, and then I turned around and got my boat and went and fished right there.
Yeah,
I would think. But we kind of jumped ahead a little bit. Now, you spawn the fish, and then what happens to the eggs?
Oh, so we enumerate the eggs. We got a process where we can, we don't count every individual eggs, but we have a process where we count so many and do a calculation, and we can get eggs per ounce, and then we weigh up ounces into an egg jar. An egg jar is basically just a cylinder. The water comes through the bottom, hits a plate, and then filters through a screen to keep our eggs in constant motion so they don't stick together. And we get however many ounces we want in that jar, and then times them by how many eggs per ounce, then we know how many eggs we have in a jar. And we're pretty close. We usually it's about 60 to 70,000 eggs per jar. Then once they hatch, we pour them up into a aluminum tank, and they're called sac fry because they have a yolk sac. That's their food source for the next 10 to 15 days, depending on water temperature.
You must be yolking.
oh, boy.
Too early.
Oh, man, it's too early.
Early. Too early. All three of our listeners just abandoned us.
Once they absorb that yolk sac, they swim up to the surface, and then they're ready to go on a commercialized diet, and we start feeding them, and we feed them about every 20 minutes when they're little.
Wow.
Wow.
Little chow hounds.
Yeah, they have a high metabolism. And then once they get about as big as your finger, they're called fingerlings. It's real technical stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
and then we'll put them into bigger tanks. And then once they get about 3 inches, we'll take them outside to even bigger tanks. So you're constantly splitting, moving fish. And when you're doing 1.2 million, you're splitting and moving every week, different fish. And then they'll end up in 100-foot concrete raceways from about 6 inches till they're 11 inches and ready to be stocked. And so, like I said, that's 18 months. In that time, you could have some parasite issues from our water. You could have disease, predation. You know, we do have bird covers that keep them pretty protected from blue herons, but they get holes in them inevitably. We have mink. There's a lot of predators. When you have a big food source down here, a lot of animals will, adapt to eating fish. So
yeah, I'll bet.
It's a long process, but it's well worth it when you see all the people catching fish in the parks and Taney Como. You see those state records caught. That's really, man, that just makes me feel like we're doing a good thing. Our work is pretty rewarding work.
I'll bet.
This is a great family deal. Come down there to the hatchery. I'm glad to hear that you're opened up again. Any talk about the new visitor center?
Yes, there is. First, I want to mention, you mentioned family. We do have our annual kids fishing event is today.
Oh.
It's always during free fishing weekend. It's always the hottest day of the year. I'm not really looking forward to it. There's not much shade down at our kids' pond. But we do have that going on today. And the new visitor center, yes, I was just in a meeting yesterday about exhibits, new exhibits going into the new center. The plan right now, I'm a little hesitant to say when we're going to build it because the last one didn't go through. But I'm pretty confident this time it is. And the plan right now, as of today, hopefully we'll start construction maybe next fall.
Oh, wow.
Well, cool.
Yeah, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
I've read enough. I'm a lay person at this, but raising German Browns is difficult, is it not? Is it because of they're predators, aren't they? I mean, don't they eat each other?
They are predators. They can eat each other, but you're getting these fish at the same, you know, they're the same size for the most part. Mm-hmm. They're not walleye are much more difficult or bass. Bass are terrible. When they get a little bit bigger than their brother or sister, they eat them. Brown trout don't really do that. They have to get pretty big for them to start being a cannibal. The thing about brown trout, we have a wild strain of brown trout, whereas they're not as domesticated and acclimated to hatchery life, you would think after this time they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really skittish. They can get stressed out very easily and quit eating. They're pretty hard to raise. We are looking into switching strains to a little bit more of a domesticated trout. The only thing difference, they're easy to raise, but they could be a little easier to catch as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, originally it was thought, well, this is going to be a trophy, you know, in the 70s, this was going to be a trophy type fish. We're not going to stock a lot of elusive. But thinking's changed and, you know, why not be able to, everybody to be able to catch a brown trout?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm all in.
Oh, man. What the hey. But I mean, I guess I didn't phrase the question well enough, but when these browns get in the water, when you release them 11 inches, 18 inches, whatever you release them at, they're ornery fish. I mean, they'll eat everything in sight, won't they?
They are aggressive eaters. Obviously, when you get a 40-pounder in 8 years, you know, an 8-year-old fish, 40 pounds, he's eating a lot. But he's eating a lot of trout, entrails thrown off a dock, too.
Yeah.
So they do. It was thought that they would eat a lot of rainbows, but they don't. It's not significant. It's not enough to put any dent in the rainbow trout population. But, yes, they are much, much more aggressive eaters and eat more fish than a rainbow would.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the triploid pro? What is a triploid, first of all?
Triploid basically is a sterile trout. So they don't spend any of their energy, any of their time trying to reproduce.
Smart.
They spend their time eating and growing. And we stocked triploids in Tanning Cove for 3 years. From 2013 to 2015. And we produced 2 state records with that program in 2019.
Wow.
I think it was a 36 and a 40 pounder.
That'll work.
Excuse me.
That'll work.
And yeah, that'll work. And so took a little discussion, a little bit of convincing, to start the program back up, and we do have some triploids at our facility right now, and I hope to get those every year. I mean, I think there's no reason not to. If you want to look at a successful program, that was it.
Yeah, so
they produced more big brown trout, and people posting pics of giant brown trout than anything we've ever done.
So you are going to revive that program?
Yes,
awesome.
We are.
That's
and,
great.
And yeah, we are. We do have a small amount. So I get my eggs from Paint Bank, Virginia, and Paint Bank Hatchery. The hatchery manager, Brian Beers, me and him have become great friends over the years. I just found his hatchery one day just looking for triploids, trying to find where we could find these eggs and not produce them ourselves, because it's really hard to produce them yourself. And found it, visited him last year, actually was able to meet him face-to-face at his own hatchery. Thought that was a really neat experience. But, yeah, we're going to keep that program going, hopefully from now on. And so we should see some more big brown trout in the, you know, next 4 or 5 years.
I don't see how that world record won't get broke. I mean, Tanning Cove's close to it now. The world record is like 42, just a little over 42 pounds.
42 pounds.
42.1. And Tanning Cove, what is 40.6 pounds, I think, is what the Tanning Cove.
Yeah, we're so close. I would say there's one in there. I mean.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Just catching that fish takes a special kind of angler. Not everybody can catch and land a 47-pound brown trout on 4 to 6-pound test.
Tobin can. Oh. Tobin's the greatest. Tobin is the greatest fisherman to ever walk the face of the earth. It's some robes he wears, you know, that cross around his neck, you know. Just amazing person to be around.
He's not
I believe it.
But
yeah,
now, if Tobin caught the new world record, I'd have to get a new co-host, because his ego would be one thing, but the other thing probably kill him.
Yeah, I'd have a heart attack.
He'd probably die.
There'd be no ego problem, but yeah, it would kill me.
He would fall over right there, and that'd be the end of him on the deal. So
there'd probably be some controversy that, hey, he's good friends with the hatchery manager.
Yeah.
He caught the world record.
Yeah, right. inside information.
I can talk to you on a personal level. It's not going to happen, so don't worry about that.
Your reputation is safe.
Yeah, don't worry about it at all.
You know, I keep going back to, this is such a great family event. Get kids down there and tour the hatchery, and it's such an interesting thing. But parents want to take their kids to go fishing, you got any recommendations on where most fish are found?
Around this area, if you're, just depends, you know, having a boat opens up many more opportunities to families, but if you don't,
Canny Como is a great place to catch fish.
Sure.
There's many public accesses along the lake, especially, you know, if you're out shopping down on the landing, there's public access to the water down at the landing. But Canny Como is great. Table Rock, to a certain extent, it just depends on where you are. But I would say as far as a family and catching fish and not just fishing, Canny Como is probably one of the best places around to catch a lot of fish.
Well, you gave a more technical answer than I was looking for. In reality, most of the fish is between the head and tail.
That's true. That's the truest statement you've said since you've been here, Mark Tobin.
Right.
That is just an amazing. See how his brain works.
Yeah, well, I do. I know very well.
Yeah, something wrong with him. I think it started with improper potty training when he was a baby, but that's just my own personal opinion. Hey, we're out of time. My goodness, you're good to talk to. We need to have you back on again someday down the road here.
Yeah, well, I need to get down
absolutely.
And go visit him. I owe him a couple of steak dinners.
Do you?
I do.
Two? Sure. Holy cow, I thought it was just one.
Well, you were on the show again today, so there goes another steak.
Another steak.
You know, I'll do it anytime, bud. Anytime I can.
Well, so good to hear your voice. And let me encourage all of our listeners.
To go down.
If you get down around by Branson, go to the Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery and have – do you still conduct tours yourself?
I do for
– special
I don't
want
to say – I'm not like a special person, but I only do for just sometimes. Mostly the visitor center does that.
I know. You just – your schedule is horrific.
Terrific.
But,
yeah.
Go down and take a tour of the fish hatchery down there. It is fascinating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For doing this show.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
What a great guy.
Yeah, Clint, you're a good man. Thank you. And tell Steph I said hi and give her a hug from me.
Sure will. We'll see you guys.
All right, buddy. We're out of time. I wanted to talk to you today about my good friend Trevin Reed. And had a nice conversation with him again yesterday. I don't know. I can't do justify that. Reed family is fantastic. Got several dealerships around the Midwest, as you know. You see Reed on the front door, rest assured, you're going to get treated with respect, dignity, and they're going to deliver you a product at a fair price. So Reed Chevrolet, it's basically up at the Chevrolet store. They also has the Dodge, the whole works up in St. Joe. Frederick, I-29, good people. Good people. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors.
Not enough time. And I didn't have enough time to mention from Phil Taunton, our good friend from What's an Outdoors, the family fishing contest. Go to outdoors@kvoe.com. Youth 17 and under. There's five categories. You can email the entries there to outdoors@kvoe.com. And he wanted me to send out a special thanks to Cabela's Bass Pro Shop for all their donations and the help that they do. Getting youth in the outdoors.
That wraps up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors. And next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. Stay cool. So